Okay. First of all, I want to thank the organizers of the conference and also for giving me the opportunity to give a talk at this conference. I talk about the reduction of a quantum theory, and I particularly want to investigate the relation of loop quantum gravity and cosmological degrees of freedom in loop quantum gravity, so symmetry reduced models. So my talk will be basically put in two parts, however, three points. I want to give at the end of this, or through this talk, a partial answer to the question, what are the cosmological degrees of freedom in loop quantum gravity? What can we interpret as cosmological degrees of freedom? And I want to start and first give some classical insight. And classically, it turns out that a lot of symmetry reductions are equivalent to the pullback under Poisson embedding of a reduced system into a larger system, and the reduced system being the is that what is embedded. So from this point of view, we want to construct a quantum Poisson map. When we do this, there is a mechanism that is very similar to Morita equivalence and Riefel induction for C star algebras. And this gives a rather general prescription, and then in the last part of the talk, I want to apply this to loop quantum gravity and extract cosmological degrees of freedom. So, first, I want to do a classical thing, and I want to gain some classical insights. When you look at a Poisson system, the observables are in focus, and I just write down the usual structure that I have, a classical observable algebra with the usual Poisson structure and the usual pre-C-star algebraic relations. But then, when you have observables in the focus, in the foreground, then the symmetry assumption can be interpreted in terms of measurements and observables, that the sensitivity of the measurements is restricted. And restricted sensitivity means that the measurements separate only points in a reduced phase space, I call gamma naught. And so there is there is an ideal of functions on phase space observables that vanish on this part of the phase space. So, and this is what our measurements are insensitive to. And then the observation is that for an interesting class, I cannot go into much more detail here, quotienting out this ideal of functions is the same as pulling back under an embedding. And when we want to preserve the canonical structure, this embedding of the reduced phase space and the full phase space has to be a Poisson embedding. So what we want to do is we want to find quantum Poisson maps. So the goal of the first part of this talk is to extend the quantum phase space reduction to extend this particular way of phase space reduction to quantum systems. Our problem is obviously the quantum phase space is non-commutative, which I indicated by writing down those Y commutation relations. And this means that the operator ordering is important, and in particular in quantum field series, series with an infinite number of degrees of freedom, they dictate me one particular operator ordering in almost every case, such that, for example, the Hamiltonian is densely defined. Now, if I just do a really small classical example as a motivation, I have a Hamiltonian of a particle in one dimension with potential V of Q, and I just have this ordering ambiguity, this F that I classically put in between the P's, and this is the same classical Hamiltonian H prime that I write on the right-hand side. Thanks. But if I just replace, if F is an analytic function, and I can just replace this Q by an operator and the P's by the operator analogons, and then if F satisfies this differential equation and is, for example, positively finite or negatively finite, then first I start the quantization of this H gives a P squared plus V of Q, whereas this gives the H prime, the quantization of H prime gives just an H of P squared. So, in general, we conclude that quantization and symmetry reduction cannot commute when we're in a classical regime and quantize it again, we will lose the information about the operator ordering. So this is the objective. We don't want to reduce the endang quantas, but we want to reduce the quantum system. This is, we seek a construction for a quantum algebra A that is presented on the Hilbert space. And first of all, I assume that this is a cyclic representation. Otherwise, if it's a C-star algebra, we can always decompose it in cyclic representations. And I want that the vacuum expectation values for the reduced, for a dense set in the reduced, for a dense set in the reduced quantum algebra, are matched by certain vacuum expectation values in the full algebra. And second, I want that I get, in a certain sense, the correct reduced observable algebra. Due to time constraints, I cannot go into more detail than showing this commutative diagram that I want a quantization, basically, of the C of the observables on the reduced phase space. And when I have found such a construction, then I call this a quantum Poisson map, when it has these two properties. So, first in the embedded space, I just drew this picture, which is the normal embedding of a circle into a torus, but the quantum phase space is non-commutative, so this won't work. However, it turns out in a lot of cases, there are analog of vector bundles over the quantum spaces, and we can embed vector bundles, and then we can recover the embedded space by using the projection in the vector bundle and project it down to the embedding. This is what is indicated here by this pi. Now, in the language of non-commutative geometry, a topological space is a C-star algebra, and a non-commutative vector bundle is a Hilbert C-star module over A. This is mathematically well understood, however, in the physics community. I just say that E is a module for this C-star algebra A that has a sesquilinear structure that satisfies the same axioms as a scalar product, satisfies, except that it does not take values in the C-star algebras of complex numbers, but in a more general C-star algebra A, in particular in the C-star algebra that is over. So, when I have a Hilbert C-star module, then it induces a Morita equivalent C-star algebra B through these Kettbra operators in this sesquilinear structure. And there is a really important theorem from non-commutative geometry. This is Riffle inductionism. It states that every state on the algebra B can be induced through a state of the algebra A using just this formula, and the extension is unique and well defined to the entire algebra. And now the observation is, and this is really the key point why these embeddings can be performed, is that the continuous functions on the quantum configuration space X or a dense subalgebra of them in many cases admit a pre-Hilbert C-star module over A. And so I can reduce this whole problem through this embedding of vector bundles by first embedding a reduced configuration space in a full configuration space. And this is, and just through the pullback under this embedding M, I have a map between the full configuration algebra to a reduced configuration algebra. And then I have to take a partial inverse, which is not unique, but obviously it exists, that satisfies these two properties. Once I have these two things, I can plug those P and I, those two maps, into these formulas that I used here to define the Morita equivalency star algebra. And the only way that this is one of the few choices where this is well defined is this rather lengthy formula here, and then I can induce a state, and also the one of the few choices where it is well defined is this combination of P and I. And this actually, and I cannot go into more detail about, in furnishes a similarity reduction in the for many interesting quantum algebras. So now I want to switch gears. What I want to do is I want to apply this to loop quantum gravity. And first of all, this is a rather recent development. I calculated holomies along non-straight edges of isotropic connections. And first you have this holonomy differential equation in an adapted coordinate system and an adapted gauge. And then this reduces to a second order differential equation for the two independent components of the holonomy. And then Christian Fleischack and Johannes Brunemann and I independently started calculating spiral holonomies and a little bit more complicated holonomy matrix elements. And it turns out that the matrix elements have this structure where when I have like the cylindrical spirals with radii r and heights b, then I have then I get the constants a and b depending on r and b, and I get this dependence on the connection. But notice that these holonomies are not almost periodic functions, but they become asymptotically almost periodic when c becomes much larger than these constants a and b that are induced from the geometry. And so the high energy limit, the high curvature limit, is again almost periodic. So I present one conjecture here that is not fully proven yet, that all the holonomies along all piecewise analytic edges are asymptotically almost periodic. I can prove it so far only whenever the Liouville-Green ansatz for this differential equation converges. And there's a second observation that this differential equation up here for the holonomy matrix elements is approximated by a pass through piecewise spirals, because these are exactly those where I have constant coefficients in front of these pieces here, so I can approximate the function in front of h dot and h by piecewise constant functions. A and b are geometric constants calculated from R and B. It is rather complicated. For brevity, I just wrote it like this. And the second conjecture is that all holonomy matrix elements are in the uniform closure of the spiral holonomies. Actually, this would follow immediately if conjecture one was proven. So now I want to give an improved construction of what I have previously done with a more rigid approach to extract loop quantum cosmology from loop quantum gravity. The construction still needs, I didn't quote that at the beginning, but it still needs second countability of the algebra. So I have to partially gauge fix the diffeomorphisms. And I do this by picking out a scaffold of allowed graphs and allowed surfaces such that for any cylindrical functions depending on a graph and any while operator depending on a set of surface, whenever I have this tuple here, that there is one in the diffeomorphism class. I choose, because I can calculate spiral holonomies explicitly, I choose piecewise spirals with rational radii and rational heights in an adapted coordinate system. Umbrella-shaped surfaces for while operators, this is truly what you would think when you think about an umbrella. When you have edges coming in into a vertex, that it really fans out like an umbrella, and one edge is, for example, above, one is under it. And then the vertices are at points with rational coordinates in this adapted coordinate system. So what I do, I need only very small diffeomorphisms in this gauge fixing, and from the previous slide, we saw that the holonomy differential equation is approximated by these piecewise spirals for for any graph. So what I do is I define my map P here for uncylindrical functions. Turns out that I need a tiny bit more than cylindrical functions, but I don't want to go into that detail yet in this talk. So I have a cylindrical function depending on the graph gamma, and I define this restriction by using the smallest diffeomorphism that puts this on a graph on the scaffold, and on a very small diffeomorphism that puts it on the scaffold and evaluate it at an isotropic connection. And then one can partially invert this for a given function of the isotropic connection. One can partially invert E, and so one has a 3-6 star module E that is given by the cylindrical functions. And then actually there is a little bit more structure to it, but I avoided this here. And the cesquilinear structure is given by this action, where this is the inner product in full loop quantum gravity. So the kinematical constraints of loop quantum gravity are solved in the theory by restricting the domain of P and the image of I in this symmetry reduction here to the constraint surfaces. Actually, this statement is only true for the Gauss constraint. For the diffeomorphism constraint, one has to go into the dual of the cylindrical functions where the solutions to the diffeomorphism constraint live. But the intuitive picture is true that you can solve the constraint afterwards in the second step. And then I try to calculate the scalar constraint, but due to the observation that with the spiral holonomies and those two conjectures I presented on the previous slide, I get a new huge combinatorial freedom, and I have so far not succeeded in even starting to classify the kernel of the scalar constraint of the full series. So for piecewise spiral graphs, so I could restrict the domain of P and the image of I to that. So let me summarize. I motivated a symmetry reduction of a Poisson system in many cases, and unfortunately I was not able to show precisely in which cases, given by the pullback under a Poisson embedding. Certain important Poisson reductions, symmetry reductions, can be cast in this language P and I already classically. I was also not able to show this here, but one can actually classify those. And then I used this the rephrasing of this this pullback on a Poisson embedding in terms of these maps between the configuration algebras to reduce the quantum system, such that the two conditions that I stated on the third slide are fulfilled, so I get an interesting reduced algebra and an induced representation that matches matrix elements with the full theory. And then I apply this to loop quantum gravity, and I get a systematic construction of loop quantum of cosmological sectors from loop quantum gravity. These are not unique. These depend a lot on the choice of scaffold that I use, and also on how I invert this map P here. But for a given pair P and I can give a precise construction. A mu naught parameter drops out of this through this construction. However, it may turn out that the dynamics induced from loop quantum gravity will give rise to something that is similar to a mu bar parameter, but this is pure speculation at this point. And future work, I just wrote a few things. Obviously, there's a lot more. First of all, I want to the next step is to explore the scalar constraint surface when I use this scaffold with the piecewise spiral graphs. And then the second thing is that I want to make contact with other approaches of reducing full loop quantum gravity to other approaches that make a precise connection between the full theory and cosmology. For example, those holomorphic states that were proposed by Jonathan Engler, and I think he's going to talk about it on Thursday. And I would also like to apply this to Dirac observables or approximate Dirac observables, like it was proposed by, like it was shown by Bianca Dittrich and Johannes Tamburino yesterday. And of course, when I stated on the previous slide that I need second countability, of course, this would be also, this framework would not even need a partial gauge fixing of the diffeomorphisms if one would have a notion, if one would apply it to algebraic quantum gravity, but also this work has not been done, so all this is under future work. So thank you for your attention. The mu naught parameter is a remnant of the quantization procedure that you when you try to separate the points when you try to separate isotropic connections with holometric elements along straight lines, then you have to re-quantize the Hamiltonian constraint, and this mu naught parameter is precisely the step length that you need to go to match with in some way with the dynamics of the full theory. I get a dynamics induced from the full theory in the previous version of this, where I actually used a scaffold that consisted only of piecewise straight lines. It did also drop out through this construction, such a parameter. Although I have a background metric, I used the background metric to construct the scaffold. But when you do the calculation, this background metric does not appear in the matrix elements anymore. So, and this is directly traced to this second point here that I have matching matrix elements with the full theory. It's through my construction.